Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, a definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Give us a shout out on Instagram by posting a story of you listening to the show and link back to us at Gays Revolting Pod, or join our Facebook group at The Gays Are Revolting.
And our live show is just around the corner, and we're calling for your best reads for us. If you think you've got a solid read for either Kyle, Mikey, Tom, or myself, email it through to gaysrevolting@lipmedia.com or slide into our DMs on Instagram.
Welcome back, everyone!
Hi!
Hello! And we are back with our regular hosts again this week. We have Kyle, who, like Nikki Hilton, is the less attractive sibling.
Okay, Ty likes this episode.
It's true.
We also have Luke, whose moustache is the most interesting thing about him.
Yeah.
And Thomas, who I thought would surely still be crushed under that house in Munchkinland.
Oh, that's ding-dong, a compliment. Bitch. I like that sort of read. And of course, the lovely Mikey. How
of
are you, Mikey?
I'm good. Hey. How are you?
Midsummer Festival has started.
Yes.
Melbourne's Gay Pride Festival.
Yeah, we're in the thick of it.
4 weeks of queer arts and cultural events.
Yeah. And our exciting show.
And our show. Mostly course, our show. Which is part of it. For those of you interstate or those in Melbourne who haven't attended before, Midsummer Festival starts in the middle of summer. Hence the name. But with a big carnival day, which is on Sunday, and then there's 3.5 weeks of art and events and things, and then culminates with Pride March in St. Kilda.
Boy, did we go to that carnival day.
We did.
Oh, I saw your soul.
Yeah. Luke didn't go because he doesn't have a soul.
Yeah, no, I didn't go because I was working.
You were working. Yeah. So I went around to Kyle's place for pre-drinks and got very messy and went and took some substances.
Oh, yeah.
At the festival, and some lovely people came up and spoke to me, and I don't really remember any of it. And I only know because of the tags I got on Instagram the next day, and there were some photos I'm not proud of. So I apologize to anyone I spoke to at Midsummer Carnival.
I drank
day.
A lot of box wine out of the delicious box with no cups because I'm that kind of gal.
Yeah, classy. Yeah.
It was so much fun, though.
It was my first one ever. It was beautiful.
It went off, and like the weather
was. Time.
Yeah, my first time. And then the weather was just like fantastic.
Yeah.
So nice. Such a nice day.
And it is so genuinely happy. A nice day. I always say Midsummer, like all the queer events sort of say something for everyone, but I genuinely feel like Midsummer really is something for everyone. And absolutely, it's really showcased on that carnival day. There's like an area for like LGBTI families where they've got like sort of like a playground for the kids set up.
So many dogs as well.
Dogs. Yeah, they've even got the dog show.
They've got the minus 18 area.
The minus 18 area as well for underage.
They really accommodate everybody.
Yeah. They've got like the party scene for like the party people. There's like your arts and craft, lesbian arts and craft stores. sports teams all had their little stalls there. All these different stages set up. Yeah. It's such a nice day.
Speaking of sports, I really like the video that was posted of you on the skateboard.
Oh, down the that was great.
Jump on my Instagram, ThomasJohn86. That was interesting. So Kyle, who I do the grannies with, has this really embarrassing photo of me off my face. So there's a skate ramp at the park where they do it. Yeah, there's this photo of me from a few years ago that he posts every now and then of me off my face on the skate ramp with like all these skaters. So he tried to get me to recreate it. Yeah. And again, I was off my face and like grabbed some skateboarder's skateboard and sat on the skateboard and like rolled down the thing. And that's where this scab is from.
New injury.
Got a giant scab on my elbow. Yeah.
Normally they're on my knees.
Yes!
Snap.
Yes, we are on board.
So we're coming in heavy on the first topic this week. There have been more reports coming out of Chechnya, sadly, that the gay purge is continuing, which is really fucked up.
And it's not like the movie The Purge.
I was going to say,
it's not like you just get to have all the gay sex on one day and then not have gay sex for the rest of the year.
So there's been a number of reports that the LGBTQIA plus campaigners in Chechnya have put out reporting that, unfortunately, about 40 people have been detained and put in custody, and two people have died from being tortured in prison. And the Chechenian authorities are denying that any of these things are happening at the moment.
Yeah.
The campaigners out there that are fighting for equal rights for LGBTQIA plus people and just protection rights out there have been inundated with phone calls from families and from people trying to escape the country.
So what I want to kind of ask is, I saw this on Twitter, I think about a week ago. Maybe two people posted about it, but I haven't seen it in the mainstream news, I think, at all.
No, neither have I.
Is there a reason why this isn't getting reported on?
Is it because it's been going on for a while now?
Has it been going on for a while?
Well, because the first time that it was reported on was in 2017, and from then it exploded. But because it has been a continual thing, it's sort of just been swept under the rug because all the authorities are denying every single claim. They've turned around and said, we don't even have gay people that exist here. Like, what are you talking
complete
about?
Denial.
Like, complete denial.
Full
I'm just
Bob
like,
Catter,
like, what are you talking about? Of course there's gay people everywhere. Like, what is wrong with you? And they've even said that they are encouraging families to do what's called a dignity murder.
Or like honor killing or something?
Honor killing. And
I've read about that.
Encouraging people to kill their gay relatives.
That's so messed up.
Absolutely disgusting. Which is exactly what is wrong with Western politicians like Donald Trump doing things like banning trans people from the military, or even like Bob Carter saying that
homosexuality
is a fashion and stuff like that, because a lot of these smaller countries are taking their lead and using that as a excuse or a defense for these extreme hate laws, I guess you'd call them.
So I'm pretty familiar with explosive purges. 2017 was a dark year for me.
You had a bad douche.
For me, I just find it really sad that even being someone who spends most of their time on Twitter and online and reading news articles, I feel pretty unknowledgeable. Is that even a word?
Yeah, that's a word.
I think not knowing that it's a word is pretty unknowledgeable.
It's pretty unknowledgeable of you.
Uninformed about this entire situation, the fact that it's been happening since apparently 2017.
Well, the scary thing is, though, that we should be inundated with this sort of information. And instead we're worrying about, you know, we've got the Prime Minister going on about how he's charting a Captain Cook's
ship thing
floating around Australia,
God,
and he's not talking about this sort of like serious human rights violation that's happening in the world.
Well, that's it. Like, my question is, like, why is the UN not doing more about it? Because Russia is a part of the UN and they have laws in place for human rights regardless. Like, I don't
understand. Because the mainstream media aren't reporting on it that it's sort of easier not to deal with it?
Yeah, I think if more people were aware of it, more people would care, and then noise usually equals action.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. How many people listen to our show?
Could be more.
It really makes you appreciate your life here.
Oh, totally. Like, how lucky are we that we're born into this kind of world where
we're
can be
around, like,
who
the
we want to be?
The thing that I've seen people talk about is like Poof Doof's photo thing.
Yeah. It's like, wow, we have it so hard.
And not to say that we shouldn't be talking about issues that happen at home that are affecting people, but we are so lucky to be in Australia. I told you guys I'm dating this Russian guy at the moment.
Yeah, so you're saving one by one.
Yeah, one by one.
you're doing your part, Tom. Thanks.
So we've been sort of like hanging out for a month and a half, two months.
I met him at midsummer. He's very nice.
He's very nice. So he's only been living here for like 3.5 months.
Yeah.
And when we first started hanging out, and I asked him the obvious questions about Russia because we hear all these stories about Russia and that sort of stuff. And he said that Russia's not that bad. Like, why does everyone ask me what's wrong with Russia and that sort of stuff? Granted, he spent the last couple of years living in Moscow, but before that was living in rural areas. And he was like, well, you know, you wouldn't tell anyone you're gay or anything, but it's not as bad as everyone thinks. And I was like, well,
that's pretty bad.
That sounds pretty bad.
Yeah.
The other day, he went for his first sexual health test screening in Melbourne. Since he got to Australia.
Okay.
Not that there was anything wrong, but he just hadn't been since he was here. And so I told him where to go. And he was like, how much is it going to cost me? And I was like, well, it's free. He's like, oh, but I'm not a citizen. I'm like, yeah, yeah, it's fine. It's still free. It's free for everyone. You don't even need to tell them your name, let alone show them your passport or anything like that if you don't want to. Anyway, he came around for a drink the other night and had been to the clinic and was almost quite emotional talking about it. He was saying he was like, I just couldn't believe that I went there. They asked me all these questions like, are you a sex worker? Have you had anal sex? Have you had oral sex? But they weren't being rude. They didn't care what I said. They were like so polite to me and I was treated with so much respect. And he was like on the verge of tears telling me this.
Really?
He said, like when I was living in Moscow when he was 18, he got like a non-major STD, like a gonorrhea or something like that. Paid $600 Australian to go to a doctor that would treat him because it was in his ass.
Yeah.
So he had to admit that he'd been having gay sex, and the doctor treated him like he was a piece of dog shit and was telling him how like his family would be so disappointed with him and all this sort of stuff. And he paid $600 to be told that by a medically trained person. Yeah, exactly.
Professional.
And so he said, you know, when I got here, I thought that everyone was judging Russia harshly on how we treat gay people. But now I'm sort of realizing that, you know, my home country's not as good a place as I thought
it
was.
Yeah. So scary.
And it's obviously area by area. And Moscow is probably a more...
Yeah, I was going to say, because is all of Russia like this, like very backwards in that sense?
I mean, it's a massive country, and some of it is so much more developed than other parts of it. Yeah. So I would definitely say that there's huge contrast.
Really,
but I think Moscow's probably one of the better places, and he was treated like that. So there's obviously a lot.
Because, like, the leader of Chechnya, what's his name? Ramzan
Kadyrov.
I don't know how to say it.
I'm pretty sure that's how you
but
say it.
He was, like, talking about wanting to purify their blood. I'm like, that's starting to sound a lot like a movement that rhymes with schmatzy. It's fucked up.
Scary when you see, I mean, any country in the world doing stuff, but even especially countries that were in Europe at that time. It wasn't that long ago. Like,
it reminds me of, it's like kind of on topic, but did you guys ever remember that girl group Tattoo?
I was
obsessed with them in high school. Yeah, yeah. That was like my like little gay connection thing. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah,
look at these queer
lyrics.
Women.
Yeah.
Like, go for it.
And then it turns out that the darkhead one, Julia Volkova, she is actually like a giant homophobe.
Yeah.
She was on like TV and someone asked her, would she condemn her child if they turned out to be gay, and she said like absolutely a man should be a man, like it's disgusting, my son shouldn't be a fag. It was terrible things. And then when asked, weirdly, her view on girls is okay, like she thinks that girls like lesbians can be okay, but a man should be a man.
It does seem to be a lot more aimed at gay men and trans people in those
it's
countries.
Like toxic masculinity.
Heterosexual men who runs a lot of the world, especially in those countries, fantasize about two women having sex, but are threatened by two men having sex. Or the idea of someone that was born a man transitioning into a woman, or vice versa.
Yeah, because she's going on, she's like, it's all about procreation.
And it's like, no, it's fucking not. There's a lot of the world that's not about procreation.
Crazy.
In fact, I wish a lot of people would stop procreating.
Like, could you stop, please?
I don't know if you've ever been to a shopping center, but there's a lot of people that should not
be procreating. So many prams. I can tell you.
side note, but still slightly related. If you look up articles about how Tattoo was formed, it's actually really interesting. Like, they put out this brief saying they wanted to create lesbian girl group. And specifically put out a casting call to get... It's a real sordid...
So like really
I might be wrong, but didn't a thing come out recently that it turned out their manager was fucking both of them?
And
I mean,
like,
look, I don't doubt
I don't want to spill the tea, because if you read the article, it's like some real dark shit and go some twisty-turvy places.
Pedophilic kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the really important thing about issues like this, and we've spoken about Eastern Asian countries and their views on homosexuality as well, is to always remember that the LGBT movement, like, community is on a global scale, and there are people specifically attempting to suppress information from reaching outside that bubble.
Absolutely,
And then it becomes an issue of us having to seek it out. We've all had to kind of seek out information about Chechnya, because it wasn't reaching us via the normal channels.
Too far away, it's like out of sight, out of mind.
And the same thing with the lesbians getting caned thing, not the fun caning thing, the bad caning
thing.
I think it's really important to remember to be global with you know, your wokeness, or for lack of a better word, is that there's some pretty nasty shit happening out there.
I think we should also try and remember that it's not been that long since this stuff was happening here.
That's it.
And in the late 80s, which is within mine and Luke's lifetime, gay men were being hunted for sport Sydney by members of the general public as well as police officers for fun. And you know, their deaths were being written off as suicides. In the 90s, we had the Tasty raids in Melbourne, you know, people flinging shit at visitors that had come to talk about the HIV epidemic and stuff, saying, you know, when they were trying to explain what the HIV epidemic really was, you know, people flinging shit at them saying, you're trying to give us all AIDS and stuff like that. Mm. It's not that long since shit was happening here, and we shouldn't be resting on our laurels when it comes
just
to
just because we're fine.
Because
that's the thing.
We should be helping these countries overseas, and that's why we should be continuing to fight for everybody's rights while here.
Like 1991 was when gay sex in Melbourne was legalized, and then
of course I was born then.
Like as you said, it wasn't that long ago.
No, it's not that long at all.
Like, we've come such a long way from where we were, but still, this is only 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Is it in Russia that they were like using Grindr to like hunt guys down?
There is stories of that.
Yeah, which, I've heard that, and then people just go.
Problem, like, we don't know what's true and what's not true. I would absolutely not be surprised at all.
That's scary.
Yeah,
it's like, gives me chills.
Yeah. Some pretty sad stuff that's been happening over the last few months as we've been in festival season, but seems to happen every fucking festival season and no one's doing anything about it, is deaths from drugs at music festivals. I don't know if you guys saw, but a whole lot of different festivals have come together and written an open letter to Australia's state and territory governments to plead with them to consider pill testing, which has been a big thing in the news the last several years. The festivals include Splendor in the Grass, Falls Festival, Laneway Festival, and Groove in the Moo, who, of course, had their successful pill testing trial at their Canberra Festival last year. And a lot of the families who have had family members die at these festivals from drugs have supported the idea of pill testing. It's also supported by the Australian Medical Association. I think it's fair to say that we've all partaken at some point or another in our lives in drugs. It could be a small drug or a big drug, but is that fair to say?
Never.
Luke's got his pod.
Luke is high right now. Luke is high as a kite. Actually, I've never seen him this high without a broom under him. I choose life.
How do we feel about pill testing?
For it. I don't really understand the process of like how they do it. So do they just have like a stand and then people, partygoers, go up to them and they give them their drugs and they test? But like, what's to keep police and stuff
from so the way that the Medical Association and a lot of other medical boards in Australia and other countries that are trying to push for pill testing want it to happen is that there's a police exclusion zone around the tents.
And they actually follow that?
Well, that's part of the whole thing. Like, it's not going to be successful if this is part of a successful process. So they're not allowed to like stand 50 metres away and just watch to see who's leaving and then chase after them. If they are going after somebody that's left a drug testing tent, then they are in trouble. So the whole idea is that they've got amnesty boxes in the tent. There's also drug counsellors there. If you do want to talk to someone, you don't have to. You give them whatever you're taking. So it's not just pills. They can test on other stuff as well. Now, this is the really important thing. This is what I think a lot of people don't get that are against the whole pill testing idea, is they're not going to tell you it's going to be safe to take this drug.
No.
Yeah.
What they're telling you is what is in the drug, like, the that you've got. So you might think you have a bag of MDMA and it might have a whole lot of ice in it. So they take it. They have a tiny little sample. They say, here's what's in the drugs. They give it back to you. There's then a box where you can put the drugs in and throw them away, or you can keep them on you and walk away. That's fine. They'll also tell you if there's anything deadly in it. So the statistics that came out of Groove in the Moo, it is nice.
Like, that's nice of them.
They can tell you that if there's something that's definitely going to be deadly for you, they can't tell you that it's safe. So you're still taking a drug that
still taking a risk, but they're much
people
more
have individual
risk,
but they can tell you whether you've bought what you think you've bought, because obviously
you're going
a lot
in
of
a
drugs
lot less
have
blind.
Mixed stuff in it. When they did the Groove in the Moo test, so that's the first Australian trial of pill testing. So the Safety Testing Advisory Service at Festivals and Events Consortium, or Stay Safe.
I love a pun.
Released the results from Groove in the Moo, and they said, so 85 different substances were tested. So 85 different people brought their drugs to the tent to get tested. 43% were found to have substances other than what the participant was expecting to find. So it meant they might have bought some MDMA and it might have had some speed in it, yeah, or yeah, you know, it could have had.
I only recently found out that some drugs, like people put rat poison in them.
Yeah, and
I was just going to say.
I mean, some of the shit that they found in their toothpaste.
I got told why.
Laundry detergent.
It tears open like the lining of your stomach, so the drugs act faster.
Rat poison is my preferred
nuts.
Drug.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I've actually been putting rat poison into Luke's drinks. Just
yes.
Shut him up a little bit. So yeah, of the 85 people that had their drugs tested, 43% were found to have substances other than what they were expecting to find.
Yeah.
Two of the 85 were found to have deadly substances.
Okay.
And then 18% of the people decided to dispose of their substances after having it tested.
So that's very good.
Including the two people that had deadly stuff found in their drugs, they threw it out. Of the 43 that found out that there was something in it that they weren't expecting, 18% decided to throw it out.
Presumably, the deadly people threw them out.
Presumably.
Like, nah, I still want to have a good time.
You know, you might get yours tested and find out there's something better in there than what you might buy some speed and find out that there's coke in it. You might be quite excited about that. But, you know, you can sort of make a more educated decision once you know what you've got as to how much you should be taking.
Yes.
Again, just to reiterate, they're never going to say this is completely safe.
No, that's What annoys me the most about the people that are, like, against pill testing is that they're turning around and saying, like, oh, but this encourages people to take drugs and, this is a slippery slope. Like, it's just going to get worse.
It's not encouraging. It's just, like, just being smarter about it.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's not encouraging these people. It's helping them make an informed decision about what they're actually doing rather than having people taking deadly substances thinking that they're taking something else. Like, come
absolutely.
On. Like,
and the medical board have also said that they are definitely not going to be targeting the fact that these tents will be available to people that don't take drugs. They're targeting it at people that already have drugs and are intending to take them. Yeah.
And it's so much better than the, like, you try it first approach.
And just find out whether you're going to end up in a K-hole or when you take an MDMA cap.
One for you.
I'm not sure if you guys saw, but did you see that Australian politician Kate Fairman? She kind of came out in a sense of, like, that she was a drug user and she's taken drugs before and she's trying to promote this kind of honesty amongst politicians, because just trying to bring light to it. And
which I have so much respect
for. So much respect for her. Like, absolutely.
That's the kind of people that I want in Parliament.
Because they are making informed decisions. They know.
And it humanizes her.
Exactly right.
And she's not saying she's out every fucking weekend at
She was just saying in the 90s, like, she used to
do a lot. And she said, like, occasionally now, if there's a big function with her friends, they might, you know, get
and
high.
Like
at
a lot
home
of adults.
Little side note, the Kardashians recently.
Oh my God.
The three main ones, they were on a talk show and they were all admitting to, like, trying drugs in the past.
Really?
I was just like, yes, love it. Thank you.
I saw a video from when Ashley Simpson had a reality TV show.
Was that with her old nose or her new nose?
With her old nose. And she was just folding a pair of pants on the kitchen floor and her mum's lining a rack up on the kitchen counter.
My God. It's like, not it's the, like, dish rack, right?
No, it's like one of those MTV crib shows. Like, they just pan past a mum, like, doing a
bad. Did you guys see that article ages ago about, like, rich white women in the suburbs, like, breeing and, like, wrapping, like, having dinner parties and then, like, wrapping MDMA in brie
in
cheese and then just having it and then just having, like, a loose night at home.
So wrapping, like,
maybe. Who knows? Who knows afterwards? Like,
I will just say I'm more impressed with the politician that came out to say doing drugs than I am with any Kardashians. You're right. It is poignant.
Yeah.
But speaking of politicians, so I think a lot of people also don't seem to realize in this debate that it's not a federal law whether or not they can do pill testing at the festivals. It's state by state.
Yeah.
Most of the music festivals in Australia happen in New South Wales and Victoria. Disappointingly, neither of those governments currently support in the next election.
But
tragically and very surprisingly, though, the Victorian government under Daniel Andrews.
I'm disappointed.
I'm very disappointed. I've sung his praises so many times on this podcast. Does not support and says he won't support pill testing, which really surprises me, because he was all for and started the safe injecting rooms in Richmond, which have been a huge success. And for those of you who don't know, the safe injecting rooms are rooms that the general public can come in to inject drugs.
Yeah.
They're provided with needles. There are medical staff on site. There's safe bins. There's little booths that they can use. Everything's very sterile and clean.
Wow.
To me, I mean, imagine if you could sort of pill test heroin and stuff, you know, like, this seems to be the step before safety injecting rooms. I don't know why you wouldn't support it.
And also, isn't, correct me if I'm wrong, but under the Daniel Andrews government, aren't we the first state to start introducing medical marijuana as
well? We are as well, yes. Oh,
like, absolutely, that's why it's so confusing
to me. It really seems to be.
Why are you aren't pushing this, Daniel Andrews?
Yeah, like, it seems to be a really natural step where he's also very embracing of the nightlife and having like safe party life scenes. Yeah. You know, he was one of the main politicians to point out how stupid it is to have lockout laws where you kick every single person out onto the street at the one time instead of sort of gradually having different venues close at different times and stuff. It really blows my mind that he does not support this. Interestingly, the majority of Australians do support it, though. The last survey that was done on this, they did an extensive survey, I think it was mid last year, 59% of Australians support it. Only 17% were against it. The rest said that they didn't know enough about it to make a decision, which I kind of have a lot of respect for people that say that. That say, I don't know enough about this. It's not for me to decide.
I even read an article about like the strength and purity of like MDMA caps. Yeah. It's like been rising and rising over the past decades. So it's actually really high percentages now, which is so crazy that they won't do this because we really need it now.
Yeah, Stay Safe did point out from the results from Groove and the Moo that it was a much higher percentage of people did not have what they expected to find in their drugs than other countries, which indicates that Australian drugs, which, I mean, we kind of already knew, are being chopped up with a lot of other stuff. Because we don't share borders with any other countries, because we're surrounded by sea, it's really hard to import drugs into Australia than it is, say, the US or a lot of Europe. There is a lot of shit being mixed into our drugs as opposed to other countries, which, again, even more so introduce it.
That's why I can't buy cold and flu tablets.
Yes, exactly.
Six different pharmacists. Yeah.
Because
you mix that shit into everything. I remember getting into a fight once because I'd done a train wreck because someone at work had told me about it. Not my current work, full disclosure. And I thought it was super funny where you shelve one pill and you take the other one. So you take one orally and you take one.
Neither.
Wait, is shelving's up the butt? Or up the butt?
Yeah, it's like two trains colliding. One goes, one goes down the mountain.
Two trains leave at the same time.
I'm not good at maths.
And so I tried that, and it literally wasn't even an event. I was just like, I want to see what this is. But I was also on like some super heavy antidepressants at the same time. And I think I was on pseudoephedrine as well. Because, as I've said, 2017 was a tough year for me. And so I had to call one of those. Well, I didn't. The person I was seeing had to call like an emergency service just to check, and I was so pissed off about it. This isn't a story with a point.
No, but I'm
you won't learn anything.
Drugs. You don't talk drugs enough.
You don't learn anything from this story.
I've never shelved, but I'm scared shitless of shitless being the operative word because I have heard stories about how you can lose control of your rectal area if you do. My brother has this great story about being in a club, some awful bogan club, I'm sure, because he is a lovely guy but so bogan. And he was like on the dance floor and there was one of his girlfriends had shoved a cap and she was on the pole and wearing white jeans, being 10 years ago.
She had no idea that she'd had a really
big mess and had shat and it was just squishing out of her white jeans. And they sort of had to, like, they told her and she was like, I don't care. And they were like,
we care.
Everyone else cares. We need to get you out of here. And so I've never, ever tried it because of that story. That's what they should be putting on the anti-drug campaign.
Like, don't wear white jeans.
You'll shit yourself.
Yeah, totally. I've pissed myself. I've shat myself.
Wow.
I've never pissed or shat.
Like, I've never shelved, but one of the very first times that I tried MD, we were at good old Revs.
The
place to do it, if any.
And like we're on the dance floor, like with a bunch of old friends, and all of a sudden I just felt myself going to vomit and I was like, oh no. And then I felt the other end go out at the same fucking time, on the dance floor. On the dance floor, and I ran to the bathroom. I stood at the door. I was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And like legitimately, as the person came out, I ripped my pants down and I was just like, like, and it just all came out.
I'm just picturing like bridesmaid boy.
Oh, those poor people at Revs must clean up so much awful bodily fluids. I've not had that. I have had the thing where you just sort of can't stop vomiting, like you vomit vomit for hours and hours and hours. I had that like twice. Do you guys smoke a lot of weed?
No. Recently, I've smoked a lot more than I have in the past.
Yeah.
I tried with you that time, the incident.
Can I tell that story?
Yeah.
We had kick-ons at my house.
No, it wasn't me.
But a very good friend of yours, let's say, had a shot at using a bomb.
Oh, I know.
And blew instead of...
Like immediately just coughed as soon as they...
Yeah, breathed. And sort of blew into the bong and it blew all of the bong water up into his face and all over him. It was some old bong
water.
It was
a fountain.
I used to smoke... I didn't have to smoke all the time, but if I had it in the house, I would smoke it every night until it was gone. But I had to stop like 6 months ago because I started getting really...
You get the weed anxiety. Not paranoid,
but really bad anxiety throughout the day.
Yeah.
I found myself being a lot more lethargic and stuff. And those sort of stereotypes of weed smoking, which I hadn't felt for the 10 years that I'd done it on and off, really started affecting me.
I dabble. My grip on reality is like not the tightest.
Wait, anyway, yeah.
at the best of times. So I am a drug dabbler.
Yeah.
Just in the most of the time, I have no idea what's happening. So impossible. I don't really require it most of the time. And weed is a very problematic one for me.
Yeah.
Because that's just like a shortcut to...
Paranoia?
No, to like my favorite place to be. It's like my pseudoephedrines, whatevers.
I love weed.
Can we just say that we're not advocating drug use?
No.
We are all
But I think adults. If people are going to take it, they should be able to check what it is.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
We just want people to be responsible with what they're taking and we're not judging.
And share it with me if you see me.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll be your testers.
Help a sister out. Let's go.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So, guys, I watched something for the first time the other night.
Was it Priscilla?
Not Priscilla! Not Priscilla. Still no Priscilla.
Was it Muriel's Wedding?
No, not that one either. Okay, it was one we haven't spoken about, but Sex and the City, weirdly.
Oh.
I don't know how it got away from me for so long. I remember when it came out way back when, and like it would come on TV like at my bedtime and my mom would watch it and stuff. But yeah, I watched like two or three episodes from the start, and boy, was that a different time.
Oh, yeah.
Fashion, hairstyles, crazy. Mm-hmm. But a lot of cultural things that would not fly these days, I don't think. I mean, I get that it was very big at the time because it was a very empowering show for women and changed the conversation about women and sex. It portrays this very glamorous life that people wanted to live in New York.
Yeah.
Going to art galleries, restaurant openings, and like the original Girl Squad goals kind of thing probably. But it's interesting to see how far we've evolved and come. For instance, like the whole show is extremely whitewashed. And when people of color do come into it, they are fetishized by the woman.
Oh, yeah.
And they talk about like big black dicks. And there's like a whole nother episode about like, I think the main character is Carrie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she dates a bisexual guy. And it's like this whole thing.
The biphobia.
And what does she say?
Is real.
She makes this comment about like how bisexuality is just like on the way to gay town.
Yeah.
And there's a like bi erasure that we discussed now.
And Alanis Morissette is in that episode.
Yes. Oh. It's crazy.
Isn't it ironic?
It's like rain.
I've never been obsessed with the show.
No, neither.
I've watched bits and pieces here and there, and I've, you know, when I've been sick on the couch, had a little marathon here and there. Is it problematic?
I mean, yes and no. For the time, no. But yes.
Yeah.
It's like a Will and Grace type thing.
Yeah,
and they have like angry lesbians in it in one episode I was reading about.
Yeah, very stereotypical.
Like very stereotypical. And all their gay friends are like very like GBF, like an accessory to them.
Yeah,
like they use them for fashion and everything.
My question is, was it a stepping stone?
Absolutely was.
And is it fair to call it problematic if in the time that it fits in, it wasn't?
Mm. Yeah.
It can be problematic now.
Yeah. I definitely say if they brought that show out now, that it definitely would be problematic. But is it fair to say that it's a problematic show if it at the time was advancing someone's rights at least?
Because it's the same thing with Will and Grace.
It's sort of like we talked about with Will and Grace. Yeah, we were sort of
you
saying
can't
like
do it all in
they
one
couldn't
day.
They would not have got to be able to make the show if it was...
You're trying to include everyone.
Everyone in the one show that you are. Interesting that you're watching that for the first time. I'm actually watching Friends for the first time at the moment.
What?
And I've been watching it, and there is definitely stuff that they say. Like, Monica, the other day I was watching an episode, and Monica was, like, calling people Nancys and Sissies and stuff because they couldn't catch a ball.
Yeah.
And I obviously cringed a little bit because, like, you wouldn't say that now, but I'm also watching it in the context of when it was originally written. And, and again, very whitewashed. Mm. Anyone that's a black character is, like, one or two episodes. Mm. Gay characters are sort of jokes on the side. But again, when you're looking at it in the context of
time,
I mean, there were shows that weren't even showing any gay people or any gay people of color, that sort of thing, you know. Mm. That to me is probably more problematic than these ones that were at least showing a little bit.
I think that actually, I think the most problematic thing is that we're supposed to believe that she could afford that fucking lifestyle.
Oh my God.
By writing one little column. Like, she was paying like crazy amounts for shoes. She spent like $40,000 on shoes, apparently, she says. Right. And I was like, okay. And she goes to all these like openings.
As a freelancer. I always think it's funny because I've thought about, I've been watching Friends as well, and there are so many gay fear jokes in it.
There's like a transphobia thing in it as well.
Yeah.
With Brad Pitt, and then they spread the rumor that like Rachel was born a man or something.
There's a lot of jokes about Chandler potentially being gay, but I remember watching all these shows at the time. So, you know, we were of that generation. Yeah. So I watched Sex and the City when it first aired, Will and Grace when it first aired, and
I was watching
Queer
Change,
as Queer as Folk when it first aired. And at the time, none of it was really problematic to me because my expectations of representation on television were so low.
That's it.
To begin with, the question of whether it's problematic or not, I think the question is more of whether you hold reverence for it still. And that's more the question.
That's very, a very good point.
Because there is a lot of reverence for Sex and the City, particularly in the gay community, and for Will and Grace, and for Queer as Folk, without the conversation or the footnote of being, but I accept that being a television show from the 90s, there is an underrepresentation of people of color, etc. And I think that removes the problematic nature. But if you're having conversations currently saying this is the greatest television of all time that did nothing wrong and is the most amazing thing, then that is problematic. Yeah. So I can sit and I can watch Friends and Sex and the City now and not feel triggered or othered by
it wasn't
or whatever.
Made now.
Because the conversations we have, we all acknowledge like, that's really bad and wouldn't get away with it at this time.
I hate to be the one that always bangs on about Australian arts, but if you look at what the equivalent that was being made in Australia at the time, my parallel is A Secret Life of Us. So about young people living in a city made the same time as Friends and Sex and the City, based in St Kilda in Melbourne. And one of the lead characters is Indigenous. There was a lead character for most of it that was Asian Australian. Mm-hmm. Two main gay characters. I think people sort of forget how ahead of its time it was, really.
I'd never really watched Secret Life of Us, but it sounds like something that I would be
I think you especially
in.
Should watch it, Mikey. It was very forward for its time. The whole thing is on 7Play, if anyone wants to catch
I'm
up
getting
and watch
on
it.
7Play.
But I remember, like, in high school, my best friend and I that were secretly gay were, like, watching that religiously because it was the only thing on television that had, like, real gay characters having, like, their first or coming out and having their first sexual experience.
There's a blowjob.
Like
I remember blowjob. Oh. I don't know if I told this story on the show before, but about the really bad date.
Which one?
Are the, I think it was a blind date. Someone had set me up. It wasn't through Grindr.
He was blind or...
No. It was like someone made the mistake of recommending that they date me. They were like, I think over an hour late to this date, like just didn't rock up, kept texting that they were on their way. I was at a bar by myself. And so I made friends with some women there and we were just drinking and chatting and I told them, oh, I've got a date coming. So, and then he finally rocked up and I was like, oh, thank God you're here. Hi, how are you? Rah, rah. And he said, oh my God, this is so funny. This is just like, I'm like Carrie from Sex and the City.
Oh.
And then he pointed to the women that I'd just made friends with. And he was like, and you're the ugly lesbian one.
Oh my God.
You're Samantha. And then pointed at me and said, and you're the boring, like, art indie weird one. And then we had, like, a whole date of, like, I think we went to two other bars after that as well.
What a catch.
Yeah. And then he told me he didn't like smokers. He actually told me in the cab. Because Uber didn't exist back then, I don't think.
It was in a horse-drawn cab.
To the third venue, he listed off pretty much everything he disliked about
me. What a gosh darn delight.
Yeah. It was fun.
But the Sex and the City movies, like, there's stuff in those that I was a little bit shocked about.
When did those come out?
Oh, see, I'm one of the many, many people that haven't seen those.
You haven't seen them? Okay.
I haven't, no. I've watched the clip of Liza Minnelli doing Single Ladies a million times on YouTube, but aside from that, no.
So they came out in the late 2000s, the first one, and then the following one a couple of years after that. So, like, there's one scene where Miranda puts on a bathing suit, is a mom, like, is married and stuff, hasn't shaved her bush, and all of the girls comment on it and just like, why haven't you got a bikini wax yet? And I'm just like, what? Yeah. Like, so what if she has a bush? Like, get over it. And then another scene where they fat shame Samantha because she put on a couple of kilos. And I was
there's a lot of slut shaming in the show.
See, I feel like that stuff says more about the audience that watch the show than the show being generally discriminatory. Mm-hmm. Still not great.
Still
not. But it's definitely just that those kind of comments are regular comments made by the people that are huge fans of it.
But those movies were trash anyway.
I was going to say, those are probably two of the worst films in existence. And I'm pretty certain the second film looks like just an excuse for the cast to have a holiday in Abu Dhabi.
Sort of like the Kath and Kim movie.
Where it's just like, we want to go somewhere. Yeah. Let's hobble together a script. I can understand reverence for the TV show and especially like the ground that it broke, because I remember even seeing the word sex in the title of a show.
Yeah.
Scandalous. Really scandaloso.
Scandalo.
But the films, I couldn't abide by anyone coming and legitimately saying that those films have any place in any sort of
like the fact that you got married to Big after breaking up with Aiden, who was the most amazing person, who loved you for who you were and didn't give a shit, and then you were like, nah, I don't like this person that loves me, I'm gonna go for the person that fucking hates me. Like, what is wrong with
you? I would see Mikey go off about.
But also, I noticed
Mikey's starting a new Sex in the City podcast.
He's got like in the format. Like,
every episode
reads,
is just reviewing another episode of Sex in the City.
Do commentary.
I'll be doing a Secret Life of Ud podcast.
I did notice in the few episodes I watched, all the men they date are absolute fucking slime balls. They're all these like executive types. In the very first episode, she looks at a guy who's like hot and she's like, he's the next Donald Trump. I was like, who? I was like, wow.
Rewatching this 90s stuff, the amount of Donald Trump references. I've been watching, so I think I'm up to season 4 of Friends, and the amount of Donald Trump references that I've seen so much. I think that Australia didn't, like, we sort of knew who he was, but we didn't realize how ingrained in.
Because, like, these shows were all filmed in New York, and that's where Trump Towers is, and he's has a massive.
And like, we saw him in, like,
he's in Home Alone.
Home Alone, Big Business, and that sort of stuff. But I never really noticed how often he. Oh, The Nanny? I think we mentioned before on the podcast how often he popped up in The Nanny. And even in The Nanny, he was making a joke about how he was wheeling and dealing and doing dodgy business deals and stuff.
Far out. Nothing's changed.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, totally. We've gone off topic, but it's interesting to think
but
about.
But Sex and the City, which one are you? Everyone always does that. They're always like, there's four of
which
us.
Which one are we?
I don't know them well enough, but
apparently
you can
tell I'm the boring
I think Mikey knows the narrator. The show best. Who's who in Sex and the City?
Oh, I don't even know it that well.
You know
literally
storyline seasons and two movies.
You're the slutty one, Tom.
I'm happy to be
slutty. You can be Samantha. Samantha.
Oh, is that because I'm old or because I'm slutty?
No, because you're slutty.
Okay, yeah, that's
fine. I feel like Kyle is like a, maybe like a Charlotte.
Yeah, you're definitely Charlotte.
I'm going to go Charlotte.
Okay. Is that the dark head one?
Yeah, the one that doesn't have anything.
Okay. Oh, cool. And then she's between pretty, whatever.
Me and Luke, there's Carrie and Miranda. This
is showdown.
You're the redhead one. Which one's
that? Who gets Miranda's Cynthia Nixon?
Yeah, that's Luke. From the two episodes.
Yeah, that's Carrie.
You're Carrie,
living frivolously on
And you're the voice. You're like the narrator. Yeah.
Don't I have a baby? So, every week I try to find a way to bring my interests into the show.
We're not talking about jazz music.
Or sports.
Or JB.
Yeah. I haven't mentioned JB this episode.
I know. So I did
How
it
weird.
You.
Maybe I can shoehorn him into this story.
Oh.
I've been following someone called Sonic Fox quite a bit. He won eSports. eSports is like competitive video game playing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes. He won eSports Player of the Year at the Video Game Awards, which is a thing, believe it or not. Sponsored by Doritos, not a joke.
I wish we were sponsored by Doritos.
And I really respect Sonic Fox and follow him on Twitter, even though he posts a lot, because he's a person of color, he's gay, and he's also a furry.
Come again?
In his acceptance speech, he said, "I am a checklist of basically everything Republicans hate." Right. But in a lot of ways, he's a checklist of what a lot of the gamer community, without the Y, hate as well. So I followed him, and I've always been on, if you check my Google search history, the periphery of the furry.
I did not want to check your search history. No. Thank you, though.
Of the furry world. It's something that I've been really interested in. I know it's got a bad rep or had a lot of negative representations in terms of...
So what is a furry for our listeners? They dress up, right?
Yeah, so furry crosses over a lot. I see a lot of it at Comic-Con and when I go to
Because that's what I thought. It's associated with like nerd-type people, cosplay.
Yeah, it's a lot of people that either identify or kind of like doing drag, express themselves by becoming a character, which is an animal, and that does often include a full body suit of fur with the heads. And
these are sort of the ones that sort of look like the American college mascots, as opposed to leather and harness. Kind of.
It's more cartoony, right?
It's usually tied in with anime as well, and some
and
fan
not
art.
Always sexual.
And it's not always sexual as well, because I think the first time I ever saw the furry world was on that infamous CSI episode, because they use Goldfrapp as the background track.
Goldfrapp is a
for like the furry sex club, and they made it really insidious, and the police guys, it blew their mind. It was like a sex club, but they also dress up like animals, and they and then they even did like the blue light over the fursuit this fursuit's covered in semen, and it was like shock. But it's actually a really supportive, loving community, and for a lot of ostracized people who don't fit in other places in the LGBT world.
My first kind of introduction, I think I saw a lot of like artwork on like Tumblr and stuff. You see a lot of anime, and then it'll be like these like wolf people, pup people, and then they'll have these like weird giant throbbing tits.
And there's this other crossover, not to get weird and muddy the waters, but then there's also this weird crossover with the feeding scene or the birthing scene where it gets really, it's a big Google hole, but basically they take characters and draw them as animals, but also as animals that have been force fed as a fetish.
Like plump.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
So there's a lot out there, something for everybody.
Yeah. So like my question is, I think, is like, so what's like the big difference between like the pup scene and the furry scene? Because like, I don't know much about either of them. In my mind, just because I don't know anything about it, I've sort of grouped them together, which obviously
like animals.
I'm just like animals sort of connotation thing, but obviously they're very separate sort of things.
They're separate, and I think I just want to disclaimer that I'm not a part of either of these communities, and I know they're very tight knit and they've had a lot of misrepresentation. So feel free to hit me up in the DMs and educate me further. But the pup scene is less, well, visually it's very different. It's not about the fursuits. There's a lot of harnesses. It's a bit of a crossover with the BDSM world. And it's less about a persona and a character and a full kind of...
It's like a domination thing, right?
You can participate in pup play without identifying as a pup. Whereas I think furries and the furry world, you identify it's a more core part of your identity. From what I've seen of the pup scene,
My understanding of the pup scene is also that it's far more sexual, in fact pretty much, and entirely a sexual thing. Whereas the furry scene, for some people it's a sexual thing, and for some people it can just be the cosplays and the anime side of it and that sort of stuff, and not necessarily be a sexual thing as well.
Are pups the kind of muscle daddies that walk around with like a literal like bike chain around their neck, like a padlock?
Not always muscle daddies, but that probably falls,
because you see that a lot now. I feel,
but it's also like, I don't know if you've seen like the guys that have like the leather dogma, like mask that looks like a leather.
Oh, I saw a lot of Midsommar.
You can also get
actually
the butt plugs, the butt plugs that have a tail on it. It's also not necessarily wearing any of that stuff, but might be walking someone around on a leash and that sort of thing, where they're on all fours. You can go to the extreme levels of like getting them to eat out of dog bowls and that sort of stuff. It's also important to point out that these people are not necessarily, and on the most part, not into bestiality, which is probably something that I would definitely not endorse, because that doesn't involve consent. But it's a very separate thing, which I think a lot of people get confused about as well.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's some of the touchiness with these communities as well, because it's the go-to argument for conservatives is like, if you're going to fuck a dude, you're probably going to fuck a dog next.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how many times have we heard that? We're basically we're basically one step away from bestiality at any given moment. Which obviously, if my identity and my community was getting sort of aligned with that, I'd have my back up and be really protective of it. So I totally get that. The pup play scene is, I think, on the rise.
I mean, a lot of gay culture is very like canine and dog related. Like when people say woof to you on like
sometimes I accidentally audibly say woof when people walk past me.
I said it to that guy when we were walking here, and then you started chatting to him and he was a friend of yours. And I just said to Mikey, woof. And then you just stopped and started chatting to him.
Oh, yeah, that was my man.
Oh, that's awkward.
So like I obviously have had a lot of very strange sexual encounters in my life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And have been asked to dress up a few times, and it never really works out because I have the body
of
a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you put me in a costume, I look even more like a 13-year-old boy.
Which, if you're dressing up as a 13-year-old boy,
it kind of cancels itself out and I end up looking 70. It's weird. I can't do costumes. But I've done the harness. I've done the BDSM. Yeah. But never dabbled sexually into the pup play.
No.
Do you think it's something you could do? Up. Like you could try?
I don't say no to nothing. I fucked a dude for chicken nuggets once. I don't say no to nothing.
I don't know if I'd be any good at the pup play. Only because I'm not good at any role play. So I've done. I've dressed up a bit
the whole time.
Yeah.
I would just like. I couldn't take it.
I can dress up. I mean, maybe I'd be better at the fairy stuff.
Yeah.
I can dress up. But yeah, once I had to sort of be on all fours and panting, I think I just can't take it. I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
But I've definitely, you know, we've all had a Pornhub hole where we've stumbled across videos of it. And I've definitely watched it and gone, yeah, that's kind of hot. It's not a fetish of mine, but it's kind of hot to sort of see people getting off on their own fetishes.
One time I dressed up as like a murder victim.
Oh, God.
That's just your everyday clothes.
That was kind of sexy.
Okay, and that's us. We're done. Don't forget to hit us up on all our social media. On Instagram at Gays Revolting Pod and The Gays Are Revolting on Facebook and Twitter.
And obviously, if you like the show, which
you do.
If you're listening to it, don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us.
I'd just like to apologize to you guys before we go for our listeners that we're sitting in a tiny studio in extreme heat. Yeah. It is so incredibly hot in here. And I've been sitting here in my underpants for most of this podcast. If I'm going to be completely honest with you. And if you want to see that in person, you could buy a ticket to the Gays Revolting Live at midsummer.org.au and just hope that the air conditioning's broken at the venue.
Cool. So we made it through probably the second most educational episode of this show we've ever done.
So much.
Well done, everyone.
Well done.
Woof.
And we'll... And we'll whoop you all next week.
I'll chesh you out next week.
Yeah, do the joke. Do it.
You better chesh yourself before you wreck yourself. That was terrible. Aww. I'm so sorry. That's terrible.
Love you all. Bye.
Bye.
100 What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.